Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We gather again around the radio microphone on Monday, the first day of November, and thank the Lord for the opportunity of considering His eternal and infallible Word. Also, before we begin, I'd like to offer Sermon of the Month, number 11, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled, Christians in the Marketplace. Christians in the Marketplace, from Romans 12, verses 17 and 18. It is our gift to you, by way of thanks, when you write and let us know what station you hear the Beacon broadcast on. That's important to us as we evaluate our radio ministry that is expanding and is going on an increasing number of stations every day. So, if you will write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, give us your name and address and the call letters of this station, we'll be happy to send you a copy of Christians in the Marketplace without cost or obligation. Now, we've been talking about Christian worship and service and how closely related those two concepts are in the Bible, though all too often they are widely separated in our modern-day Christian thinking. And this is based upon the words of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, when he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." And it is making note of the fact that the Greek word for serve in verse 9 is translated worship in other texts in the New Testament, and obviously can be translated either way accurately, and points to the fact that in the mind of God, as he was communicating his truth in the New Testament scriptures, the concepts of worship and service are virtually interchangeable. Strange to our thinking, but obviously to God the Holy Spirit and to the authors of the New Testament scriptures, the human authors, as they were inspired by the Spirit of God, the concepts of serving God and worshiping God were virtually interchangeable. And with that thought in mind, we have been talking about what makes our worship service. How do we turn our worship into service? What about worshiping God makes it serving God as well? And I suggested to you, first of all, when we are conscious of offering our worship as a gift to God, that's where we have to begin. We have to think of worship as something we are giving to God. As we give Him our tithes and offerings, which is a part of most worship services, and maybe I should insert at this point, I think this is one reason why it is appropriate and desirable to have a place in the order of worship where we render our financial gifts to God. Because in doing so, we are recognizing that giving our gifts to God is part of our worship to God. I recognize that some people prefer to have a receptacle at the back of the church, and people place their offerings in that box or receptacle on their way out of church. And I understand that custom, and I understand, I think, the reasons for it. And they're noble reasons, and I'm not here to fuss. I understand that, and where that is done and where people prefer it that way, I really have no complaint. This is not a major complaint. I'm just it's not a complaint at all, not even a minor complaint, but I'm just explaining why, having thought about it, I have come to a different conclusion. I don't want to do anything, God helping me, that is done simply because of custom or tradition. And I have grown up in a tradition that customarily passes an offering plate in the service. And when I entered the pastorate and became responsible for leading a church in worship and being responsible to think through the elements of our worship service and to evaluate each one in the light of God's Word and to its propriety as to whether it should be there or not be there. And in the course of doing that, I have altered the elements that are in the worship services of our church somewhat differently than what I have grown up with. Not drastic changes, but some changes to be sure. One of which is we have a place in every worship service, a separate place for the reading of Scripture. I don't think I have ever observed that in any of the churches that I grew up in, to our shame. But in many Bible-believing churches, there is no particular place in the order of worship for the public reading of Scripture. And many people equate that with formality and liturgical churches and try to do away with that. And so it's pretty much up to the preacher when he delivers his message as to whether he wants to read Scripture or not. And some will read a portion of Scripture before preaching, and some may read just one verse of Scripture before preaching, whatever his text may be. It can vary. But we came to the conclusion that we ought to have a specific place in the order of worship prior to the placement of the sermon where a significant portion of God's Word would be publicly read. Most often it relates to the text which will then be expounded in the sermon. Sometimes it is the text or contains the text that is going to be expounded in the sermon. If not, it will generally be a parallel text or a supporting text which will be used in the course of the sermon. Excuse me. But what it does is highlights a special place in the order of worship for the reading of God's Word. And as we study the New Testament Scriptures, we've come to the conclusion that that ought to be a significant part of our meetings. Struggling for words here, because when we keep talking about the worship service, then we are using the two words that I'm talking about here, worship and service, and combining them together in the customary way, but in a way that sometimes we tend to lose their meaning because of their familiarity, and we tend to forget what the words are supposed to communicate separately in a different context or setting. So when we gather together as the assembly of the saints in the public meeting of the church in order to worship God, what should be the elements of that meeting? What should be the elements that constitute our corporate worship? And I think one of the things clearly taught to us in the New Testament Scriptures is the public reading of the Word. When Paul said to Timothy, who was a preacher and was being instructed by Paul as to the elements of his ministry, and Paul said, give attention to reading and to doctrine and to exhortation. I think were the three elements. I'd have to locate that passage in Timothy and find it, but one of those is reading. Give attention to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine, which is teaching. And exhortation is application of the Scriptures, of the teaching to the lives of the people. But what is that reading? Well, many times, just brushing over that word very lightly, we tend to think maybe Paul is saying to Timothy, give attention to the work of your study. Give attention to the personal reading that you do in preparation to preach. But it turns out that that's not what he's talking about. It's talking about the public reading of Scripture. One of the most important things that a preacher can do to minister God's Word to God's people is to publicly read Scripture. That ought to be part of the worship service, reading a portion of God's Word, and then explaining a portion of God's Word. That's what the sermon is. What does God's Word say? Exactly, read it. What does God's Word mean? Explain it. And then, how does this apply to your life today? Exhort on the basis of it. And so the public reading of God's Word needs to be an important part of our public worship. And so we instituted that into our order of worship. And every time we meet together as a church, whether we're talking about Sunday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night or even on Wednesday night, there will generally be a portion of Scripture read. If we have special meetings, we'll have a portion of Scripture read. We may have fewer elements on the order of service for special meetings, for a Bible conference or whatever, as we would have on Sunday morning. But we will still have a special place for the public reading of Scripture. We think that goes high, high, high on the list of priorities. Now, I was talking about receiving an offering. Well, I understand why some would move the offering to the back of the church to people to give it on their way out as a way of not creating a barrier or hindering unsaved people who come, who sometimes, often actually, have the idea that all the church wants is my money. And so you pass that plate in front of an unconverted person and you may offend him and create a barrier for the gospel. And I understand that, and we should be careful. We should think through those things. But the question to me is the public meeting of the church primarily an evangelistic service, or is it primarily a time for the saints to worship God? And the elements that we put in our worship service, what should they be? Well, they should be the elements of worship that we find in the Bible. What constitutes worshiping God? And public prayer constitutes worshiping God. Public praise, singing and praising God in our songs of thanksgiving and hymns of praise is part of our public worship of God. A reading of Scripture, as I've already mentioned, is part of our public worship of God. Hearing a sermon, an explanation of the Scripture is an important part of our worship of God. But rendering our tithes and offerings, giving to God financially, is an important part of our worship. And by moving it outside the worship service because it might offend someone, it seems to me, is tantamount to, say, moving the sermon to another place because that might offend someone. I mean, we're almost getting to that place today where in the name of evangelism and reaching the lost, we have virtually replaced the sermon with something else because that tends to turn people off. That tends to offend. Well, so does public prayer. That, by the way, is another element if I didn't mention it. Public prayer is an important part of our worship service. But, of course, unconverted people don't particularly like to listen to long prayers or even prayers at all. So we start taking everything away because that it might offend the lost, and we're not going to have anything left. So we've got to rethink this whole thing. And so please return tomorrow as we resume the subject. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.